Jeremy Bradley here, back live in Yukon. Once again, our website is travel.jbonair.com. You can see all of the fun that we had last week in Dawson City for Discovery Days. And I'm a little bit homesick, kind of missing my dogs. So I figured, what better place to visit than Muktuk Adventures, because a whole bunch of sled dogs are here. And I'm joined by Frank Turner, who is really got a long history with sled dogs. So thank you so much for having us here, first off. Tell us about your history then, because you started how many decades ago getting involved with dogs?
Oh boy.
As they all start to...
I came to the Yukon 40 years ago, and I've had sled dogs just about all the time that I've been up here. But, I mean, right now we have 120. I started with one, and it basically grew from that. These dogs are hybrid dogs. They're called Alaskan Huskies, so what that means is they have some Siberian Husky, but also some Lab. You can hear them here, because it's getting cooler, and this is really kind of energizing them. That's what this singing is about. But they have Siberian, some Collies, some Lab. Some people are putting German Pointer in now. They're hybrid dogs, but they don't have alpha dogs.
Okay.
So they are pack-oriented, but it's not to be the leader. There's not any kind of ego involved with them. The whole deal is just to be in the team. Where they are in the team is irrelevant for them. It's just to be in the team.
They want to belong. Okay, so then your history then with racing, because I know there's up here in northern Canada, there's a lot of different winter races. The Iditarod is the one that, you know, most people know, but you've had some great success, so why don't you just tell us about that?
Well, there's another race. Most people are familiar with the Iditarod because it's on TV and covered a lot. There's another race that's actually longer than the Iditarod.
Yukon Quest. Yeah.
Which is a full 1,000 miles. The Iditarod, because of deteriorating snow conditions at the start of the race, have shortened it a fair bit. And the Yukon Quest is in February, and it goes from Whitehorse to Fairbanks 1 year. The next year it comes from Fairbanks to Whitehorse. So it's an international race. And I've been very fortunate to have participated in 24 of the races. I retired in 2008. But that's still the most number of races anybody's run in. And that's mainly the reflection of the support that I've received over the years. And I'm the only Canadian-born person in the 30 years to have won the race. And my dogs held the record for fastest time for 10 days and 16 hours. So I'm kind of proud of that one, of being the only Canadian. And I hope it's not going to stay like that for a long, long time, but it's been a real highlight. And the dogs have been incredibly integral to my life in the Yukon.
It's great. And the beautiful dogs, all well-behaved. You were saying not one of them, you can't approach any of them. I mean, they're all great, right? They're all very friendly, all very welcoming.
Yeah, when people come here, you know, they come with a sense of interest and inquisitiveness and a bit of adventure, but they never really know what they're getting into with the dogs. And all our dogs are friendly. We have 120, 40 of them are retired. I don't sell dogs. We do have an adoption program, but you saw today, you can go and visit any one of my dogs. We have some rescue dogs here that have come to us for various reasons, and maybe they didn't get as socialized as our puppies, but all of them really like to get petted and really like that human contact. I really enjoy that.
I think they're calling us. We'll have to go visit them in a second. So if people want to come here and check out everything that you have to offer, there's some demonstrations that you were giving. It's very an interactive sort of workshop, really, in a sense. We had a great meal. So tell us more about the different tours that you offer.
Well, we're only closed 2 days a year, Christmas and Family Day.
Right.
The rest of the time is we're busy, you know, making sure we can take care of the dogs. So the biggest, busiest period for us is about from middle of December to about the middle of April. And that's where people come here, either for a half-day trip, a day trip, or what we have, it's called Rookie Ranch. They come here, we dress them up to keep them warm, we provide all the clothing, and then we provide the guidance for them to learn how to take their own team out. We have the Northern Lights here, and we're right on the banks of the river, and basically it's just going out smelling the roses. In the summer, it's more of an educational, interactional approach. People come here and they see how we care for our dogs. They learn about the winter, but a lot of those people are adverse to coming here in the winter. Mm-hmm. They think it's colder than it really is. I think Winnipeg probably has tougher winters.
If you've
grown up in Winnipeg, then you'd have no problem with the Yukon winter.
All right.
You know, I always feel humbled by Winnipeg winter. So in the summer, we let the dogs off. They get off and run in groups. And every dog is off every day. So people, if they've had any questions about the welfare of dogs or they want to ask about the racing, maybe they have heard about the Yukon Quest. It's our lifestyle. So the way we operate it here, it's like people coming into our home. You've been here. Mm-hmm. And for me, it sounds like a cliche, but if people leave here and it feels like they've been to yet another tourist attraction, I'd be disappointed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to ask people so I have an objective feedback, but I don't want to live in a tourist attraction. Right. I want to live in the Yukon. I want to live like this. We're off grid, live with my dogs. And this is simply an opportunity for us to open a door, come in, see what we do. We don't do anything with the dogs because people are coming here that we wouldn't do without them.
And that was one of the first things that you said when we got out of the truck today was, ask me anything, I'm going to give you the honest answer. It might not be the politically correct answer, right? But it's going to be the real, it's going to be the truth. And that's, you know, so commendable and respectable. So now, if people wanted to check out more information, I know the website is www.muktuk.com, M-U-K-T-U-K.com. And once again, we've got that link on our website so people can take a look at the pictures of us mingling with the dogs. Very quickly, I just remembered, Ernie and Basil, you have a story about Basil.
Well, Basil was a dog. We lost Basil a whole bunch of years ago, but I bought him from a friend of mine after the Yukon Quest of 1991, and I paid $2,000 for him. These dogs are not inexpensive to get high-performance dogs, and that happened to be exactly how much money I won in the race that year. So all I did is I got the check, I signed my name on the back, handed it to my friend, and brought Basil home. Then when I started, I put Basil in the team with my other dogs. He didn't look that really special, that out of the ordinary. And I started thinking, well, if Basil is worth this much, then I've got other dogs here that are worth a lot more. But I bred Basil. And in 1995, we did win the Yukon Quest, as I mentioned earlier. We set that record, and 7 of the 10 dogs in that team were Basil's offspring. So in the end, it was a really great, great buy for me.
And one of them was Ernie then, too,
Ernie,
right?
Ernie was Ernie and Riley and Spooky and Wally and Streaker and Bozo. How many is that?
Well, you know, I do need to ask.
Those are all the guys that came from Bozo.
Now, first thing that came to my mind as we were coming up the road is, and we do have to go, but I do need to, how do you remember who is who? And they all have a different personality, obviously.
Yeah, that's how you remember. It's like kids. You know, when I first came from Toronto, which is where I grew up, and I went out to a dog yard like this, I was overwhelmed. There were so many dogs, and I wonder how much freedom do the dogs have? I mean, when I was a kid, I had a dog growing up. A lot of us have had dogs. And first and foremost, we want to know the dogs are being taken care of. Mm-hmm. And how do you remember the names? There's so many of them. It's by personal attachment. If you were here for a couple of weeks, I'm pretty sure, unless you had some kind of a memory impairment, you would know over half their names, because then you start seeing the individuality, and that's the fun part. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and that's
Well, that's great. My mom has three sons, never remembers any of our names, so you're far better than she is. Hi, Mom, by the way. All right, so it's muckduck.com, and you know, I can't thank you enough for having us here and giving me a little bit of comfort from home, because my dogs are not here. So travel.jbonair.com is where we have the pictures and all the fun stuff here from Muckduck Adventures.
And let me just add one thing before you go. If you do check out the website, I'm not a computer person, but on our Facebook page, there is a video that was done by Adele. This was a group of people that came from Vancouver last winter. When they got here, I asked them what they do in Vancouver. They said, well, we're in the film industry. And then I didn't talk to them for a whole week because they went out camping with another guide. When I was taking them to the airport, I said, by the way, you told me you're in the film industry. Are there any films that I might have heard of that you worked on? And they smiled and they said, have you ever heard of Avatar? Oh. Have you ever heard of Happy Feet? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that group put together a little video. It's under Adele's name. There's two of them, but the second one is absolutely incredible. And anybody that wants to have a smile on their face and look about what we do or find out what we do up here, go to that Facebook.
Okay. Do you know what I think we should? We should end this off by walking by and having them all do a bark. Can we do that? Let's go walk right now. Again, we've got all of the content on our website.
Let me see what I can, if I can do it. When they howl, when they bark, they're barking at something. Right. But when they howl, it's like you being with friends or family and you go along and somebody starts singing a song. Mm-hmm. So the howling is more a mood than it is anything else. So I'll see if I can get them to give you the Yukon song.
All
this
right,
is
here we
the
go.
Real Yukon song.
Here's the test, folks.
So it's going to take me maybe three tries to get them going. So you got to just be patient. Third time. Come on, you guys. Help me out here.
We're bombing. There we go. The sun just came out, too. They're relaxing. There's everybody. What a choir.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when they do this. It's just so, so cool.
Oh, well, what a great way to end our chat. Once again, Frank Turner, thank you so much for having us here. Mucktuck.com, all of the pictures and fun that we've had here at travel.jbonair.com. Let's get back to the music live from Yukon.